It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
We were good, we were cold, kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't, built a home and watched it burn.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Well, whether the groundhogs were correct or incorrect, we are rapidly closing in on the official start date of spring. And if you look around, it is looking like it. We were driving home from the airport after a brief trip the other day. And when we pulled into our block, the first thing my wife said is my daffodils and tulips are coming in. Other than baseball and other than there being a little bit more daylight each day, I don't know what says spring more than flowers. Who better to turn to than the go-to flower man himself, a man who I've come to regard as a friend and who's been a valuable contributor to this program. He's also an entrepreneur, an author, a highly sought-after public speaker, and the CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Jim McCann. Jim, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining me on the radio.
Boy, you put me in a springtime mood here, Frank. That's a beautiful depiction of what we're seeing outside our windows and in our yards every day. We, too, celebrated this weekend because a couple of daffodils bloomed. The cherries are in flower. It is a fun time of the year.
It certainly is. I actually have a question about flowers and off-season flowers that I'm going to ask you in a second. But I have to tell you, last time we spoke, we were promoting the fact that you were kind enough to have me, I guess you were hard up for guests, on your podcast. I have to tell you, the response that I got from appearing on this podcast, both the number of people that said they heard it and reached out to me because of it, was staggering, but also the feedback that I got in terms of what a prepared interviewer you were and the breadth of our conversation was much more than I expected. And I had pretty high expectations to begin with. So one, thanks for the opportunity. Two, I hope you don't ever decide to go into radio full time because I need this job, Jim.
I don't sound good like you, Frank. The podcast is just great fun. And you're such a good sport to come on and do it. And it's a conversation I was looking forward to having with you, whether we were recording or not. Just getting to know you better. You're a part of all of our lives who are regular listeners, and you make such a positive contribution to how we feel and we think. And I was just looking forward to the conversation. So how lucky am I that I get to do that and talk to really interesting people, really smart people, learn a lot and share that journey with the community of people who choose to listen.
Well, it's very kind of you. I appreciate that. Now, we were talking about flowers, and I was thinking, as I see these flowers bloom in our neighborhood, it would seem to me that if you're in the flower business, now's a pretty good time where you could just kind of go out and pick them and use those flowers to send them to people that may want to order flowers. But what do you do in December, January, February, when, at least in our corner of the country, flowers are not necessarily in bloom, but the requests for flowers, the need for flowers, whether it's funerals or weddings or anything else, are still very much alive? Is it much more difficult to be in the flower business in January than April?
It is, but it's the foundations that we have throughout the industry now are so improved. And I've been in this business, it seems like forever now. But just, for example, a rose. When I first started in this business 40-plus years ago, there were two or three varieties of rose you could get on a year-round basis. Now it's 100 varieties, and they're longer-lasting. They're beautiful. The colors are incredible. So it gets easier. We have a logistics system around the world that can bring beautiful product from anywhere. So actually, it gets quite a bit easier for us as florists to be able to access. You're talking about spring flowers. My favorite flower is a rose, but my favorite seasonal flower is a peony, Frank. And you'll see it in the garden soon. It needs to warm up quite a bit before they pop. But a peony was something we'd see locally 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the year. And now, because we're sourcing them as the world, sun circles the earth and picking it up from different spots, we can stretch that season to 18 to 20 weeks now. So people can enjoy things to remind them of home that they see in their garden just a couple of weeks a year. Now we can stretch that out. It's a heady time coming into spring. But I did find myself this weekend, Mary Lou and I have a place in Florida, but we really haven't been able to get there other than one short trip this year. And I found that even though winter weekends, you don't have all the outdoor activities. For us, our distractions are we have grandkids. So we check going into the weekend, okay, who has what basketball game, lacrosse game, soccer match, you know. And we build our calendar around seeing the kids do those things during the day. Usually have social get-togethers in the evenings. But it gives you a lot of time. And I found myself not getting depressed about it, but getting to a warm embrace of the idea that I had plenty of time to work around the house, organize things that I hadn't gotten to, and just do work for the business. And I had long, quiet periods of time where I can get writing done. And I began to really enjoy the weekends, where in years gone by, I might have been into a funk of not being outside. And we had so much rain here in the Northeast from Labor Day on, it seems. Lots of rainy Saturdays. I'm embracing them. Say, I can be really productive. I can go see kids' games, get back, have more to do. But now when spring comes, it's harder to say, hey, I'm going to stay in and get a lot of work done this weekend. So I really find I think about allocation of my time very differently as the season changes. How about you?
Well, honestly, as you were speaking, obviously with a few different types of commitments and a few different different aspects of the familial situation, I was nodding my head in agreement with everything you were saying, because when it's nice weather like this, I feel guilty not being outside, especially with Absolutely. My son, and he loves to run around outside. But there's no less work to be done on this radio show or reading that needs to be done or anything else. So it comes a time where, you know, it puts me in a better mood to be outside. And to the extent that I can, I'll bring my computer outside, work outside. But I also sometimes will relish the rare day of raining all day for an excuse to stay inside and get some reading and get some work done. But it cuts both ways. But even folks that don't necessarily identify as having seasonal affective disorder, I can absolutely sense my own mood and the general mood of not only the listeners, but my neighbors being affected when it's nice and sunny like it is this week, as opposed to the gray days, the cold days, the dreary days of winter.
It just puts a different bounce in your step, but I'm learning as I get older to embrace what Mother Nature deals with you and have a set of activities that are reflective of the time. But as you say, baseball started now. I know you're a baseball fan. And I do find, though, I used to go down to spring training at least once a year, every year, to see the Mets in Port St. Lucie. And it was a great time because my sons would like to go. My daughter, not so much. But my sons, and we had great times, dad and sons. We talk about baseball. We have nice dinners. We just spend two or three nights together, usually two nights together in 3 days. But now they all have kids. And now I'm in the gap period where I'm waiting for my grandkids to be old enough that I can take them, because their fathers are too busy, my son, being great parents. But I'm in that in-between time enough that I can get back to that routine. And I know you're a crazy baseball fan, too.
Handling legal matters is stressful. So, let the law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. provide you with the insightful counsel you deserve. The law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. has successfully handled thousands of cases for 25 plus years. They focus on elder law and estate planning, but are equipped to navigate you through all stages of family law and divorce to real estate law and probate. The law offices of Frank Bruno. Call 718-418-5000 or visit them at frankbrunolaw.com. That's frankbrunolaw.com. Frank Bruno. He's your numero uno.
Yeah, fingers crossed for the Mets, not only for a great season, but I'm hoping they can find a way to sign Pete Alonso to a nice long-term contract as well.
I'm not optimistic there.
Unfortunately, neither am I, but whatever. Hope springs eternal. Hey, we spoke around the beginning of the year about New Year's resolutions. In some ways, it almost seems like spring is a better time to set goals for yourself because I don't know. It seems like you get a shot of energy where it makes some of those goals, whether it be going out and exercising more or making plans with friends, those goals for some reason seem more attainable when it's bright out and when it's spring type weather, as opposed to when it's gray or cold. Any advice for folks listening, Jim, and if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Jim McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers. Any advice for folks listening on how they can make the most of this season, having it be a time of renewal and connecting with people that maybe they haven't seen just because it's been cold out the last few months?
Well, I can tell you personally how I'm thinking about it. We're about Memorial Day is our unofficial beginning of summer, right? And we're about, 9 or 10 weeks away from Memorial Day. I like to have a calendared event that I set my goals to. And I've been doing a lot of reading lately about metabolism, about diet, about metabolic effects, causes of disease. You have someone in your family who's impacted by something, all of a sudden you decide to do a lot of reading about it. And I'm making a personal commitment to myself that I'm going to use this next 10 weeks to really be very conscious of my intake. And be, from a health point of view, not just a diet point of view, but to make sure I'm conscious of the fact that there's such great stuff you can find from these really smart people. There's a Dr. Lustig, who's an endocrinologist up at Columbia, who I've been reading about. There's a professor of biology up at Boston College I've been learning a lot about. And the important things they have to say to us about our food intake and things that we thought were food that really aren't. So I think you're right. And personally, what I'm doing, Frank, is using that Memorial Day end period, writing it down on the calendar, really being conscious of my inputs, my food intake, my caloric intake, to make sure I'm on a path to be healthier. Because this whole longevity idea, if we knew how long we were going to live, we would have taken much better care of ourselves.
I think there's a Woody Allen joke reminiscent of that one. Hey, I know it's a pear blossom season at Harry and David, and Harry and David is celebrating their 90th anniversary. Explain to folks, what is Harry and David, and what's the relationship between Harry and David and 1-800-Flowers?
Well, my brother Chris and I have long admired Harry and David. Harry and David is a food company out of Oregon where they grow their own food. They're known mostly for their pears. They make a particular pear that's called a Comiche pear. And the Comiche pear is a hybridized pear. So it's one base tree with a hybridized different kind of pear tree on top of it that creates a pear that averages about a pound a piece. Not hard-skinned, not hard, actually very soft-skinned and soft and really juicy. These are pears you can eat with a spoon. They're like none other, and they grow only in two places in the world that we know of, and we're one of them. And so Harry and David, wonderful food company, and Chris and I knew that a lot of our customers at 1-800-Flowers, after they leave our site, don't get to buy something different. So we tried to buy the company for about 10 years. Unfortunately, the private equity owners that had the company went into bankruptcy, which created an opportunity for us to buy the company, which we did just about 10 years ago now. So we've owned that company for 10 years. It's a wonderful part of our portfolio. And here's a kid from Queens, Frank, that has really gotten into the agriculture. We are vertically integrated. We have about 1 million pear trees on about 5,000 acres of production. We grow grapes, the best peaches you've ever tasted, and we're headed out there in a week or so for the pear festival. That is, the valley, the Rogue Valley we're in Southwest Oregon, is just a beautiful agricultural valley. And everybody has pear orchards, including us with 20 different orchards in Medford. And when those pear trees flower, it is a sensation overload. It's beautiful. The scent is incredible. And it's just that when you talk about the feeling of spring, no feeling of spring quite like the Rogue Valley in pear blossom time. So we're headed out. They do a big festival. They do a big parade. And Harry and David is is the largest employer in the valley, and so we have tens of thousands of people gathered. It's just great fun. But I love to get out into the orchards with our agricultural team, who bring me up to speed on what they're doing with the soil and how the prune went. And it's just an exciting, fun time. But for a kid that barely had a 10-foot patch of dirt in my backyard, it's amazing how interested we've all gotten in the agricultural side of the business, but indeed we have.
I think that's great. And it's an inspiration that you're really never the product of where you come from. You can always, you can outgrow what you think your limitations are in terms of interest, in terms of expertise, even in terms of hobbies and professional acumen. And just because you weren't born on a farm doesn't mean you can't learn how to milk a cow. Hey, Jim, I always really enjoy our conversations. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great spring, and hope we get to talk very often.
I hope Carmine's got a new hat with mouse ears on it.
We had that even before going to Disney World with his name on it. So he's making, I think he has a greater appreciation.
Back safely.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great time. Jim McCann, thanks so much.
Happy spring, Frank.
Happy spring to you. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, you're welcome to do so. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.